You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Let me please begin by saying thank you. Thank you for the Southern hospitality you have shown me and my family as we've begun to settle into life here at the Advent. Never have I experienced such a warm welcome into a new church family. Suffice it to say that we are truly grateful to be here. And I'd also like to express how thankful I am to serve with Craig for his leadership and for his vision for ministry in this place. I honestly couldn't be more optimistic and excited about serving on his team. But enough about us already. Let us now rather turn to God's Word and this fun reading we have today from Matthew's Gospel, right? At one point, we were discussing when my first Sunday would be, and it appeared as though last Sunday was going to work out best. So I immediately looked up the Sunday lectionary readings and found the familiar and not as threatening parable of the sower. When things shifted to today, I again looked up the appointed lessons and found today's follow-up parable about the wheat and the weeds, which were to be burned in the fire. And of course, I immediately gravitated toward preaching on the Romans lesson, which of course is so good. But after some prayerful reflection, I pretty quickly came to believe that today's gospel might actually be a very appropriate starting point for my preaching ministry here as your vice dean. And so to jump right into it, we know that Jesus taught in parables because in doing so, he was able to use everyday images and language that people understood to reveal deeper spiritual truth. And today's parable about the wheat and the weeds teaches us that the world, the human heart, the church even, this side of glory isn't perfect, but God is. And until judgment, when all things are taken into account, both wheat and weeds will exist within the church. So if you're looking for a perfect church, good luck with that. But it furthermore teaches us that God will ultimately separate the two. The church isn't perfect, but God is. Why isn't the church perfect? Well, of course, because it's made up of people like you and me. Like the guy who decided to leave his church because, as he told the minister in the receiving line one Sunday, "It's not you, preacher, really. I like you." For the record, this didn't happen to me. "I like you. It's just that I'm not so sure that everyone in our church is sincere." "Is that right?" the minister said. "Well, when you find the perfect church, please don't join it." "Why not?" the man said, confused. "Because if you do, then it will no longer be perfect." Have you ever heard someone say, "Oh, I don't go to church because the church is full of hypocrites"? Really? And what, you're not? I mean, that is itself a hypocritical statement, isn't it? Because it implies that the one making the statement believes that they are morally superior to those whom they reject. But that is itself a hypocritical, not to mention really self-righteous, thing to say. The truth of the matter is that the church is full of hypocrites because all of God's people fall short of God's moral standard. But that doesn't mean that we don't strive toward it. We aren't like those in the world who just lower the moral standard to accommodate our moral failings. We talk about and strive toward loving God with all of our heart and loving our neighbors as ourselves. But who can do that perfectly? And yet it really does seem as though we're often shocked to find out that things in the church aren't perfect. Like the guy in the parable. Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? Do you want us to go and gather them? No, the master said, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up some of the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. And biblical commentators are quick to point out here that for a first century Palestinian farmer, not only is it difficult at first to tell the two apart, but as wheat and weeds mature, to pull the weeds would actually put the wheat at risk because of the way their root systems grow together. Again, Jesus taught in parables because in doing so, he was using everyday images and language that people understood to reveal deeper spiritual truth. And to go ahead and jump to the application, if you will, here, the spiritual truth, wouldn't we all agree that if you were to try to pull out the weeds that may exist within the church, you'd most certainly pull out some of the wheat that was gathered around them? In fact, church history teaches us that this is precisely what's been going on now for some 2,000 years. Just think about the number of churches and denominations that have gotten started as the result of some self-righteous weeding. We are wheat. They are weeds. We need to separate ourselves from them. And in the midst of all of that, there have been good, God-fearing people who have become so turned off by it all that they've wandered away from the fold. Wheat that got pulled up with the weeds. And the thing is, it's a dangerous thing to become too sure that we even know who or what the weeds are to begin with. Now, certainly, sometimes it's perfectly clear. There are beliefs and behaviors that are clearly inconsistent with Scripture. And like Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. One of the mantras of our culture today is to say, but who am I to judge? In the South, it's right up there with, well, bless their heart. Really, isn't that where many people end up once they've been confronted by a statement or a behavior that they disagree with? The fallback position is seemingly, increasingly, but who am I to judge? And honestly, I've just never really understood that. Who am I to judge? Well, I'm a somewhat intelligent, fairly opinionated child of God with some familiarity with God's word and a little bit of life experience. That's who I am to judge. Think about it. If a parent stops a child from saying or doing something harmful or inappropriate, we don't say, but who are you to judge? Because we know who they are to judge. They're the loving parent. Parents are supposed to judge behavior. It's right there in the job description. And Christians are to be in community with one another, not only to encourage each other, but also to hold one another accountable to the standard, again, that we all fall short of. But just because we fall short of the standard, that doesn't mean that we stop striving toward the ideal. And we certainly don't throw out the ideal altogether by saying, oh, well, your truth is your truth, my truth. Who am I to judge anyway? Because even if we agree to disagree, which we'll often have to do, that doesn't change the fact that with some things, they are either true or they aren't. Sometimes agreeing to disagree just means that we're not going to come to an agreement about which one of us is right. Jesus calls us to be a light in an otherwise darkened world. And again, he said, you will know them by their fruit. Actions speak louder than words. And judging behavior isn't the same thing as putting ourselves in the position of the righteous judge, the one who is ultimately responsible for pulling the weeds. It's important for us to understand this as Christians, that it isn't bad for us to judge behavior. It's actually right there in the job description. And it's even more important for us to understand that it's good news for every single one of us that God will ultimately take all things into account as the righteous judge. For without that, there is no justice. So, point one, we should expect there to be weeds among the wheat. And rather than focusing our attention on pulling out what we believe to be the weeds, we do much better in our common life together to rather focus on simply planting more wheat. But point two, the weeds will ultimately be dealt with. And for the Christian, that is nothing to fear, because those who are in Christ are safe. And the simplest illustration for this that I've come across is the story of the father and daughter walking together on the Canadian prairie. In the distance, they see a fire. Eventually, they realize that it will engulf them. The father knows that there is only one way of escape, so he begins a fire right where they are to burn a large patch of grass so that when the larger fire draws near, they'll be able to stand on the section that has already burned. Sure enough, when the fire approaches, the little girl is terrified by the raging flames, but her father assures her, "Don't worry, the flames can't get to us because we are standing where the fire has already been." Standing beneath the cross of Christ, we have nothing to fear. Jesus said, "Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. He who has ears, let him hear." Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.